Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Well, here we are, and good evening, and welcome to this special live stream of Edwin's Property Rant. We've got so much to talk about tonight, we better get going. Great to have you with us. And just before I bring Edwin in, let me just remind you, as I always do on these shows, that we're not providing specific financial or property or legal advice. It's a general conversation only. We do moderate the chat, so please be careful. We will turn people off if necessary. This is as at the 30th of May, 2022. If you want to ask a question, and feel free to, use that Walk the World to get my attention. And I've enabled Super Chat, which means you can get your question to the top and also make a contribution if you'd like to help us cover the costs of making these shows. Anyway, without any further conversation, Edwin, welcome.
Martin, we need Rooster Cam.
Rooster Cam?
Yes, yes.
Well, we need Rooster. You definitely need Caddy Cam.
Yeah, look, Rooster Cam, Dusty and Evan Cam. Dusty and Evan, they're circling the wagon at the moment. I don't know who's going to pop up behind me as we do the rant. But it's interesting. Look, everybody seems to be doing the rounds. Pretty soon we're going to have Prime Minister Cam and follow him all around the northwest region of Sydney, congratulating and thanking the loyal Chinese supporters. Caught up with the PM over the weekend, but that didn't catch up with him. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time, or is it the right place at the wrong time? I know, one of the two.
Well, it was interesting. I think somebody else put another angle of that same picture with you actually in the picture.
Yeah, that's Lee. That's my cousin. That's my twin cousin, Lee.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it just proves I was there, Martin. I was there. I'm not stalking the Prime Minister, just putting it out there to the AFP. I'm not stalking the Prime Minister, by all means. It is interesting. But look, he seemed approachable. He seemed friendly enough. Let's see how friendly his government's policies are to the economy and to the property aficionados that are joining us tonight.
Absolutely.
It's going to be very, very interesting to go unpack a little bit of the potential stimulus that's on offer for the property pundits and anybody who wants to come into the market, whether it's going to make any changes. I mean, we're going to be talking about, are they going to be prepared to let the market crash? Or is stimulus coming in? I saw your of the interest of the people video with Uppercut Adams there, and it's pretty much the same thing that you and I've been talking about for a few weeks already. So let's wait. It's a wait and see.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I don't know whether you saw. I made a show earlier on tonight, which was picking up an AFR article, and basically the article was, or maybe it was actually the SMH, one of them anyway, was arguing that the number of listings is going down, the number of auction clearance rates have gone up, and whilst there are a few people away, it's going to be a wonderful, spring. So it's very interesting getting a slightly different perspective from that particular angle.
Well, it is, and this is why it's frustrating, because unfortunately some of the older generation that want to, that perhaps one could say should be on the market already, it should be depending on which side of the coin you're basing your economic future on, they get put off or they take a wrong approach. Look, what we're seeing is really fact. The fact is that to date, we haven't seen the for sale listing numbers drop. Now, admittedly, and this is my caveat, we're only looking at the Sydney metropolitan region area, yep. And we're using the domain as our base point, and have been doing that for the last 3 years. So, and according to that, domain would like to argue that the majority of the real estate agents use that platform. I would like to think that REA has a lot more listings online than domain, but they're pretty much on par with numbers, and depends what the Sydney region how the Sydney region is defined. But look, all at the moment, everything's pointing to more properties on market. Surprisingly, houses are keeping up with with apartments, and although your apartments have taken off a bit further, but in terms of the percentage of numbers coming on board week in, week out, and where they should be retreating, they haven't been. They've been going further north, and towards the end of the week, we're going to set new records for this year. And when we compare it to 2021, we've superseded the records for 2021.
Yep.
And I think we're on par with 2020 figures, 2020 figures.
Well, I can tell you, Edwin, that my surveys are still saying more people are looking to sell, and a lot of investors, by the way, high-rise owners. But there's still a smattering of people with their own houses also still thinking that maybe this is a time. An argument goes like this. Prices are likely to fall ahead. Therefore, what I want to try and do is to sell now while I can. And then once it settles, which will be a few months later, I can then pick up something cheaper. So I'm actually going to ride the market down. I always think that's a slightly cheeky situation. It may not work quite as expected, but that's certainly one of the things I'm seeing in my surveys.
Look, expectedly. And there are other factors also as to the reasons why people want to sell, like we've talked about on the show, and that is particularly with investors. What we're getting around the traps is very poignant, very straightforward, and that is that a lot of investors don't want to spend the amount of money that those properties are required to meet the new regulations, the new tenancy regulations, and the ongoing revamping of the regulations around the rental market. So you've got a lot of issues, a lot of properties with a lot of issues, asbestos. Mold, properties are just dilapidated. We're talking about properties that have had very little, if any, maintenance over the last 30, 40 years, and only God knows, maybe even longer. So you've got a lot of issues, a lot of properties, old properties with a lot of issues that, quite frankly, need to be, in a lot of cases, need to be pulled down and rebuilt. But do you take that risk? Do you take that chance with all the supply chain issues and everything else that's against the investors, upgrading their property? So their choice really is get on the market and sell whilst they can maximise the sale.
Absolutely. Well, the key question while you were talking, a pussycat walked past. So was it Evan or was it Dusty?
This one's Dusty. This one's Dusty. She's right next to me.
Obviously wants to come and be part of the team. I'm very impressed.
Yes. Yeah. Evan made an appearance on the property snap that we had, and the short snap of talking about the Thornleigh property. And now Dusty wants to get in a bit of the action.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the interesting things I want to talk about with you is Bob the Builder. Because, again, I made a show at the weekend highlighting the pressure that many construction companies and the tradies are under. And you've got some intelligence on that too.
Look, Bob the Builder, as I call him, he's really he's an individual that's been in construction for decades. He knows his stuff, knows his what he's doing. He's, as a matter of fact, he's done major works. He looked after major works to the Opera House. I only just went over the weekend. I spent a bit of time with him on Sunday. Now he brings out some interesting points, and which I put up on Twitter. A lot of what we're going to share today is what I've been putting up on Twitter, just to feed the our followers there and keep them up to date. As the news breaks and as we get the information. So, Bob the Builder, he's talking about there's a lot of building companies in the East Coast, which, look, admittedly, some of the mainstream media reporters are catching on now, but there's a lot more happening there, and which is not really talked about as much, and that is the underlying issues, and that is with the subcontractors and the contractors and the tradespeople that obviously work underneath those branches, and there's a hell of a lot more that are running on the subcontractors and contractors that are running on anywhere between 90 to 180 day invoices that still have not been paid. And Bob the Builder is of the opinion that a lot won't. And you know, it's pretty much a case of you can whistle Dixie and you know, stand in line and be a be a creditor, just standing in line, especially if these companies are going to go bust. Interestingly, CBA also bailed out Metricon. I understand they put up $30 million just to basically bail out. Look, my I think my option was a lot better. Do what McGrath did when they were in the shit. Yeah, the real estate agency, they floated. I reckon Metricon should have done the same. What do you think?
Was a question whether anyone would have bought them at the moment, but to hear now, you know, a different time in the market. But it is interesting. And 270 construction firms have gone bust so far this year, according to the latest statistics that I've seen. And it's interesting, it's the ones in the middle that are being caught. So the really big guys have the funding capacity, and the ones in the middle don't. And some of them are trying to effectively forward sell their invoices, a la Greensill, right? To try and actually make some working capital. But the traders are the ones really caught at the bottom because they are now working and not getting paid. And I've had a number of people contact me in the last couple of weeks saying, we've got no money, you know, because we're not actually being paid by the people who are employing us. We've done the work and it's not actually transferring into money received. And you know, 90 days, 180 days, you know, I don't know how they can manage. And of course, a lot of them have mortgages on their own properties.
Well, that's
So
right, and this is criminal.
yeah.
This is absolutely criminal, Mark, because as yeah, the questions that or the stuff that I was talking with Bob the Builder over the weekend was, well, one of them in particular was, yeah, what happened to all that JobKeeper money? What happened to all that JobKeeper money that was given to these bigger companies to support the subcontractors, so that, or even the subcontractors to support their tradies that are also contracting to them? Well, you know, there's, yeah, we really need a royal commission into that the stimulus and the, you know, and that support, because that's a question, and this is where obviously Bob the Builder has a bit more insight in that whole industry, and is basically in some not so flowery terms, he said, well, you know, it's pretty much gone. It never got used for the purpose. But you give me the name of any other big business that used it for the right purpose and keeping keeping the workers on par with inflation and everything else that we're experiencing now. I mean, it's, I guess you could count them in the thumb of my in one the thumb of my hand.
Not many. Yeah, I mean, there was what, 40 to 60 billion was handed out, and many of those funds went to companies that didn't need it. But a lot of the companies that did need it never got it in the first place. So that's been the problem right the way through, that the whole support program was actually aimed at the wrong set of businesses. So a lot of small businesses went into the current cycle with pressures, particularly in the construction sector. And I saw somebody the other day calling it a profitless boom. So in other words, a lot in the construction sector are working really hard, trying to do the right thing, but invoices are going up and there's no money in it. And therefore, eventually, things fall over. And I've had several people tell me about projects that have been cancelled. So, you know, people have contracted to an estate to buy a piece of land and put a property on it. They have a recommended builder. That recommended builder then basically, you know, contracts to a certain level. Then a bit later, they pull out. And then the whole thing is, well, do you sell the land back? Do you not? Can you get another builder? If you get another builder, how much more do you have to pay? And what about, things like your mortgage? I mean, there are so many consequences of all of these stupid things that have happened. And it's all back down to poor policy from the government over the last couple of years.
Look, 100%, 100%. And that's something that, obviously we, we toyed with a few things, and I asked him, one of the questions that I asked Bob the Builder was, I asked him, as by the way, what do you think about the proposed stimulus? Do you think, we'll build a 10,000 or even get, to build the 1 million homes that if the Greens and the Labor Party join forces? And I thought, what he said was very, very much on point. And I'll read it out. And this is what it came back with. He says, okay, let's put it down in point form. We've got scarcity of materials, or the supply chain issues around materials.
Yep.
So there's one of the issues that in answer reason prices are going up, and hence the reason why many companies can't complete on the bill, therefore they can't get the progress payments from the banks that they require. And if they don't have the cash flow, well, how do they keep the staff on, on board? It's not just staff, it's not just tradies on the site. You've also got admin staff and other expenditure, leases and everything else, and rent of warehousing where they keep the materials and so forth. So you've got that issue. Then the other issue is governments don't really want to open up or release more land in order to provide to create new subdivisions. So and that one would say that's happening all around Australia with the local governments all around Australia. Then you've got the obviously what we spoke about, the partakers of JobKeeper. What happened to the money and the stimulus that they got given? That's very, very questionable. Banks are tightening on lending. So they're not only tightening up on lending in terms of you buying, getting a loan for a house or getting a loan for a home package, but they're also tightening the screws on construction funding as well, with the small and medium-sized developers. And this is what this was an interesting point that we thrashed around a little bit, Martin. And this is, we've also now got the fear and hesitancy of new home buyers. So, regardless of how much stimulus the government's going to throw at the new home buyers, there's going to be a lot of hesitancy, or this approach, or that gift, or that offer is going to be met with a lot of hesitancy, because people are going to be weary. Am I going to be buying at the right time? Am I buying? Are the prices going to go down? Yes, I'm getting whatever type of stimulus, but am I going to be in the black, or am I going to be in the red in 6 months' time, 12 months' time? So the hesitancy was one of the things that is not only talked about here by buyers and by people in the industry of buyers, but also something that we're going to talk about as to the WeChat chatterers in China later on as well.
Absolutely. Here's an interesting question from Death and Regret. Thanks for the super chat as well. Edwin, do you think Labour opening the immigration floodgates could save the property market? And when will Dusty fight Meteor in the live stream battle?
No, Dusty and Evan, they're lovers. They're not fighters. Flash, my old dog, he was a fighter. But no, these girls, they're lovers, not fighters. They like to go out and train with me when I'm outside, smashing the bag. They hang around and they watch, but that's about it. They just like to watch UFC on YouTube. That's about it.
But it's true, isn't it, that immigration, and we've said one of the levers they could pull is to open the traps and try and bring more people in, because that might help to prop the market up. Although, of course, with rising interest rates, my own view is that that's probably only going to have a minor impact. We are in a whole new ball game with interest rates going up and the cost of money going up. The banks are tightening their lending, as Bob said, and as you said, and I made a point that earlier show today. The debt to income ratios that which banks will lend to have been reduced now. And it's interesting, I was talking to somebody the other day who went to a bank about 2 months ago to get an estimate of what they could borrow. They went back literally this last week, and they are now able to borrow 15% less than previously. So suddenly their borrowing power, simply because of the higher interest rates and the fact the banks have changed their standards, mean they can't now reach what they were expecting to reach to previously. I think that's a very interesting object lesson.
Look, it is. And this is something, obviously, that there's a lot of other factors that will be required in order to cushion the market falls, or the price falls of property. Immigration is one that I talk about a lot, and more so because of the nature of the immigration groups that would like to come to Australia, their capacity to buy in certain areas. We're talking about groups that got the capacity to buy in the millions as opposed to under the million, where it affects a lot of the first home buyers that want to get into the market here, the local first home buyers. So in terms of regions, you've got your potential immigration will potentially impact your Kellyvilles, your Castle Hills, Northwest regions, West Pennon Hills, all these areas, as well as Eastwoods, Chatswoods, in Hurstville areas, part of the St. George area, and in those areas around some of the areas around the airport, because of the nature of the people that want to come to those areas. Other areas won't be impacted as much because of they're more of a local market, local market dominance or local buyers dominance. But that's only just one of the many things that the government needs in order to cushion the free pull. That then obviously you and I have talked about what other forms of stimulus are they going to throw at it in order to artificially cushion this quench the bad sentiment that's around market free falling. The other thing that I was thinking about over the weekend and today also was, as these construction companies stop building, and there's going to be a lot of unfinished homes around the place and not being able to finish because new builders won't necessarily take on the old builders project unless they themselves get it at a song and could navigate through any potential warranty claims against the builder that finishes it. So that in itself has inherent issues. So does that mean that people that take on the stimulus, are they going to then gravitate more towards the established homes, which is something that Bob the Builder and I spoke about in a little bit more detail. And this is where, well, this is just us. This is just us, chewing the cud, shooting the breeze, at Bathurst. And, we tend to think that the regional areas of the greater regions of Sydney may see a greater cushioning effect because people won't be able to buy, the locals won't be able to buy into subdivisions because of the issues around construction. So there's a lot of factors that may help it, but it comes back to also as you talk about over and over again, Martin, is how much pressure will the current government put on the on the Reserve Bank and on the banking institutions in order to to loosen the grip on lending, and will they in order to save the economy? This is a bit of a quagmire or you could say a bit of a fork in the road for the Labor Party. Damned if you do, damned if you know. Don't sort of scenario, in my view, because you save the property market to save the economy. Do you let it crash and watch the economy free fall as well? What do you do? That is something that you and John spoke on that video in a little bit more detail as well.
Absolutely. Well, it's just complicated, absolutely. And, that there are a whole bunch of questions and consequences. I'll put this one back again. This is quite an interesting question. Do we see house prices falling by December 22 or June 2023 for the newer suburbs and cities, northwest and southwest? And what could be the biggest falls? Remembering, of course, prices went up significantly strongly, and they're still way above where they were even 2 years ago, right? Down there. So it's very hard to know, I think, what the timing is, but my own.
Northwest, southwest region, they're already falling.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is because of the local factors. These are more locally desired areas, or for property buyers. Mm. And this was your southwest. I recall the market falling in 2000. In the early 2000s.
Yep.
And the southwest region, it just left a bad taste in my mouth. I had to bail out three or four families, out of purchases there, because it's just, I mean, historically, even some of my family, my uncles that bought in the southwestern subdivisions in the early 90s, that did their ass big time, and it's never been a region I've never really liked it, and I'm not saying this because I've never really liked that region, but because historically it is. I think from your surveys, Martin, the southwest region is where you've got the highest
amount of very high levels of stress, and as you say, prices are already falling. People are over leveraged there, and generally there's more volatility to the prices because the supply demand disequilibrium is quite strong. Plus we get a lot of new migrants coming in and buying in those areas too, so they may not actually have such a good feel as to what's happened in the past. Those areas have gone up and down like a yo-yo over the last 20-30 years. And in fact, whilst some people have done quite well, a lot of people have not. And therefore, it's quite difficult to predict. My own view is the slide will continue at least for the next 6 months, but probably for more than that. But it fundamentally goes to the question of at what point will the Reserve Bank change course on the interest rate hikes, right? Because effectively the market's suggesting rates will be 2.5% to 3% higher than when they currently are by the end of the year into next year. Other people are saying, no, they'll never go that high because they'll crash the property market if they do. So I think the key question of prices is linked to what the Reserve Bank does and how high rates go. That's the key unknown. And, you know, I could give you two scenarios there. In fact, I'll be updating my scenarios shortly. One scenario says 6 months rates go up, then they start going sideways and go down. Migration comes in, prices start to go up again. The other is rates are lifted for higher for longer because the inflation is more sticky, and we go into the middle of next year with much higher rates. The migration is weak because the international context is still pretty chaotic. As a result of that, prices will continue to slide through next year. So I think both those scenarios are completely valid, and I don't know any way to pick the two at the moment. We just have to watch and wait and see what happens.
Yeah, and also we also got to understand, and we take the approach, and sometimes we don't stress it enough, and that's why people misconstrue what we say, Martin, and that is that, you know, we've got to understand that you've got to look at each individual property and each individual's needs, both from a, you know, from a buyer's side of things as to what they're wanting to buy and looking at buying, and also from, and on the other side of the coin is the vendor, what their motivation is to sell or what it is that they also need. And what do they need to sell, which comes back to motivation and the kind of property that you're looking at buying. So there's a lot of other factors that impact it, but we talk broadly or generally just for the sake of time and because our followers are astute and smart, but those that want to take us to task, they'll misconstrue what we say and say, oh, but you said don't buy, you said buy, you said this, you said that. Oh, good. Go jump.
Exactly. I just ignore it, you know, because they don't really understand the nuances of what we're saying. Because, you know, all we're saying is if you're going to buy, do the work, make sure that you're getting at the right point and you actually understand what you're getting into. A lot of people just jump in and assume magically that it's all going to work. And unfortunately, quite often it won't. And talking about... Go on.
So can I just say quickly, with regards to what's the government going to do, we've also got to keep a close eye and watch as to what Penny Wong's going to do with regards to international relations. At the moment, she's competing for the Pacific Islanders to basically turn their back on. Do they turn their back on the offers by China, or are we going to offer them something a lot better than just climate change agenda and cheap come to Australia and we'll pay you very low wages because we want your cheap labour, isn't that what you want? Versus China offering them infrastructure spend, through the Belt and Road programs, wads of cash or brown paper bags full of cash for the politicians, and quite frankly, that for a period of time that would also generate local interest. So we've got to when we talk about immigration, that's the China side of things as to, and are we keeping them happy, although Lee, as we spoke out last time, Lee reached out and congratulated our Prime Minister Xi didn't. But the big question is Xi going to be in power at the end of the year, or is it going to be Lee? All these sort of things. So it's a watch and see. But the broader question to immigration has to be looked at as to other countries around the world. Hence the reason why I say also look at your Kellyvilles is because Kellyville and those regions around there are very attractive for the Indian community, Indian Sri Lankan communities. Although, there's a lot happening in Sri Lanka at the moment, but the Indian communities, the wealthy still want to come over and they still want to study and they still occupy and they're in high demand for some of the professions, whether it be medical or IT or finance. So that's the broader side of what we look at as to how immigration is going to impact property prices in the future.
Yeah, and we should just pick up the Chinese theme because there's a very important WeChat chatter, right? Which was pretty amazing. We must stabilize property market, central government in China says, according to the WeChat chatterers.
Yeah, look, it is, and they're going to be, although I made a mistake on that tweet, I put 12 billion, which would be the bribe, I guess, to one of the politicians, which is nothing. But it's actually 12 trillion, which equates to, just a bit over 1.8 trillion US dollars or over 2.1 trillion. Australian dollars. And the interesting thing, when our followers look at that tweet that I put up, there's a long thread, an extensive thread there. I think it's about four or five tweets. You've got to look at what it's for and what are the central government saying that stimulus is for. And it's purely to support the construction industry and the property industry. There are some economists and both in the US and in China that are WeChat chatterers follow that would like to see a bigger stimulus going to affordable housing. But this, the 12 trillion, when you read the articles in context around this central government policy, it's specific just to manipulate and to support the construction industry and the real estate industry, meaning those that are looking at buying property, and predominantly in the first tier cities. So it's not about, I don't know what else they're going to bring up with regards to affordable housing or anything else, but it's sort of more or less reflective of what the previous government did here. And that is the big question. What is the current government going to do? Are they going to go down the same path as the previous government, or are they seriously and genuinely going to put in place measures for affordable housing, and I'm not talking about dog boxes in the sky.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a massive, massive amount of money. But it's interesting how it's specifically targeted to try and actually get the construction sector going again. Of course, the trends in terms of property prices and property construction in China has fallen through the floor. It's one of the major reasons why the economy there is looking pretty sick. Now, whether the lockdowns will go unlocked anytime soon is another interesting question. There's a bit of a tussle on that, right?
There is. And this is, again, this is inside information from my WeChat chatter. Is Lee, what one? So lockdowns lifted by next week, whether that happens or whether it doesn't. I mean, it's a tussle between Xi's policy or Lee's want. As I said, it's not going to get sorted. This may not get sorted out until November or the end of the year when the committee meet and they basically work out how they're going to move forward. So the baton changes hands by the day, if not by the week, and this is rather interesting. So look, we're going to wait and see. Look, regardless of what happens between Lee and Z, our followers have got to be have an understanding that whatever faction loses, whether it's the Lee side or the Xi side, whoever faction loses, there's only one reason why you would want to stay in the losers faction in China, and that is if you want to commit suicide by a shot to the back of your head or something like that. It's an interesting dilemma. So, but what we do know, Martin, what we do know from what our WeChat chatters are telling us is that both which I shared before as well, the families, the immediate families, the partners and the girlfriends are already from both sides, from the factions, from both sides of this equation, are looking at ways or finding ways of getting out of the country already. And obviously then you only come back, depending on who's in control. The others just stay abroad. It is an interesting tussle. And then again, it comes back to what will our government do post November with regards to are we going to be welcoming? Because these are individuals that have got a hell of a lot of money that will be escaping from the country. The people that don't have money, that can't leave the country anyway. We're just simply talking about individuals with a hell of a lot of money. The high, very, very high net worth individuals, the let's say the 1%, but their 1% is 1% of 1.4 billion people.
Yep, big numbers.
And this is, go ahead.
Big numbers.
Big numbers. Yep. And this is why when we translate that, when we translate a percentage of those numbers wanting to come to Australia in terms of property, our property market isn't that big. And hence the reason why, since 2014, 2015, Chinese investors, by stealth, by sheer numbers, have manipulated the property prices and have made it, because we're not really a big market, but yet we're a desirable nation to reside in. But look at the broader picture. We've got issues with the Asian community in America, predominantly in New York and in LA and other parts where there's a lot of Asian hate. So you've got the WeChat chatterers there. There's monitor, I think, three or four groups there in America, the chatter there is absolutely phenomenal. What are you going to be doing? What are you doing this weekend? I'm taking the missus and the kids out to the gun range and teaching them how to shoot a gun. Shit. Is it any reason why the people from there also want to come to Australia? Mm-hmm. And look at what's happened recently. So all these factors impact the thoughts and the way that the WeChat chatterers look at us as a nation and look at us as their property future, you could say, their long term investment or long term home, in which obviously from the nature of the rent, impacts the property prices as well.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the local WeChat chatters because they've also been quite busy, and there's a very strong thematic coming through.
Yeah, basically they stuck it up. Yeah, the local chatter is, well, we stuck it to the Libs. The Labor Party would like to think that they, hence the reason Alba was in Eastwood on Saturday, perhaps shaking hands. There weren't a lot of people shaking his hands, but quite frankly, they were pissed off with the Liberal Party, whether they voted Labor or whether they voted Independent. It's a bit of a mix, but it's the sentiment that's coming out is, look, you as a federal government supported the BS that went on with these lockdowns. It cost us our livelihood. And that photo, that snapshot that you just put up on the screen, Martin, that is Saturday at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Eastwood, in the main street of Eastwood. So it's a shocker. Is it any wonder why the Chinese community were rife with the Liberal Party? But you and I spoke about as to the true reason. All I've heard in most of the most of the mainstream media snapshots that I've got with the info about that, because they picked up on what we said a couple of weeks ago as well. As you and I know, they troll us and they run with our stories a bit late, but they still get it wrong. They're still talking about that these are people that local people supporting the CCP, blah blah blah, and this is the reason why. No, dipstick, it's not. The majority of the people, they've turned their back On the CCP, but they didn't turn their back on their nation, and they didn't turn their back on their families that are still there, or the suppliers, and they know that the supply chains come from there. It's just that the Liberal Party wanted to take a hardline stance. But again, Martin, there was an article, I wasn't able to snap it on WeChat in mainland China before they deleted it. But from a commentator there, and he was saying that in his opinion, it seems like the current government is not really taking a different stance than the previous government. So again, which way is it going to be a two-way elbow bet, or which way are they really going to go? It's not very clear, and we've got to let the current government obviously run for a bit, go through the honeymoon period, before we really find out. And I don't think we're going to really find out a lot about them for another 8 to 12 weeks to really see which way things are going to navigate with policy around China.
No, I think it will take some time to come through, but it is very interesting, isn't it, the dynamics. Now, something else I want to explore with you. I went to a couple of auctions. In fact, I went to try and attend four auctions last Saturday in and around the area here, quite a large area, but two of them didn't happen. They were cancelled, right? One, I was there and the auctioneer was there, and that was all. But the fourth one was really interesting because there's an auctioneer who quite often operates in and around this area, and he seems to have two, let me call them heavy mobs, the sort of quite heavy sort of guys, but they often seem to bid, right? And I started to think, well, hang on a moment, is there something going on here? Is it feasible that you might actually bring some ready, primed people to help auctions? Is that ever been done?
Look, man, I'm going to put it to you now, and I'm going to put it to our viewers, those that are watching it live, and those that watch it later on. I'm going to put it to them. I'm going to set up Dummy Bidding Incorporated. it's the future, Martin. It is the future. I'm telling you, it is the future. We can. And you don't need to have a license. You don't need to. You just have to go there, register, and bid, and then run away. If you get to hold the bid like a dummy friend of mine, what happened to him about 4 years ago? He ended up he was a dummy bidder, contracted by one of his other friends in Cabramatta, and he was he was the last bid to the point where he just. Through the paddle and then just took off. He told me, but look, I think this venture's got legs, because fair trading aren't doing anything at the moment. It would appear on face value they're not really doing a lot. They're not attending the auction, so they don't get to see this. And it's really you could see it. It's a shame. It's a blemish in the way the industry is going. So we're going to have underquoting is going to go down. But dummy bidding is going to rise. And I always say, Martin, cream rises to the top. And I think we've got to get in at the bottom. We've got to get in now. So, I propose that you own, you and I own 50% of the shares in the company in Dummy Bid Inc. And our followers, will dish out the shares to our followers. We'll split it. If it's 40 want to get on, we'll split it 40 ways, whatever. But look, I think it's the industry of the future.
It's the way to go. Well, and you put this one up the other day, right? Which basically is in similar vein, right?
Exactly, and that's not all. There was one in Lewisham, which was a cracker. Lewisham, guy, $2,550,000. One of our guys was there, and the normal bidders, this is what he's telling me, because I wasn't there in Lewisham, but he's telling me the normal bidders stopped bidding at the guide. then these other dummies, whether one of them was a genuine dummy or a genuine bidder, right now, but then afterwards, they basically took off, because generally, if it's a genuine bidder. And look, we also see this in Chatswood. We saw this in Chatswood in 2020, when there was a little bit of when a lot of listings started coming on the market, and the market sort of started softening around there because of a lot of the Chinese owners were selling there, And we saw that in Chatswood, and I tweeted that in 2020, about mid 2020, as to what was happening there as well. And it's the same beast. There's nothing new under the sun. Only how fast they run. And that was when I raised it. And it seems to be the phenomenon. It's coming back again because. People are not turning to auctions, as you say. You found out yourself that one of the auctions that was meant to attend. They postponed it in the morning for another 2 weeks because there's no real interest. So we're going to get a lot of this. There'll be agents foolishly will take the properties to auction on the day, regardless whether they've got somebody registered or not registered, or they don't feel they've got anybody half interested. They'll run it for each to their own for their own reasons, and it's going to spook the market. So I guess one of the bigger questions for me around this, Martin, is what we're seeing around auctions and the results of the downward trends in the market is how when are the people going to be spooked enough to pull the properties off the market, or is the economic pressures going to be that high that regardless of what they see the market doing and people not turning up to auctions and auctions being passed in, nobody bidding, the neighbors are they going to be under so much economic pressure that they've got no choice but to go on the market? So it's again, it's really an interesting interesting times moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is fascinating to watch what's going on. Now, we did a short show, right? And we call it Property Snap. We might do a few more of these. A lot of people quite liked the short form, although they quite like these longer ones as well. And we actually did have a very interesting conversation specifically about the question of the way that sales are playing out and a few things, right? And you just wanted to underscore that, I think.
Yeah, look, and this is something that our followers are going to be open to and perhaps get a better handle on and understand, and that is what's going to happen over the next 3 months around auctions, around sales campaigns, marketing campaigns, whether it be private treaty or whatever. But you just got to – we're going to see a number of what we call in the industry a lot of out-of-line sales. And it's going to go both ways. Like the one that we shared in Thornlie and that property snap as to what happened there and following the history. And this is something that, unfortunately, some of the people that put stuff on Twitter or any other social media platforms, Facebook or Meta or Instagram or whatever, you don't get the full picture and, there's a bit of hype, it's all part of the game and part of the fun, but you've got to play. These are people. If you're going to be buying, or you're looking, you're interested in whether buying or you're interested in selling. We're going to have these out of line sales, so don't just take these out of line sales as to the true indication of the current position of the market, the property market in that area. But as you and I know, Martin, the mainstream media will take the sold 10-15% above asking narrative because they love it, because it pumps the people that advertise the most on their platforms. So, but on the other side of the coin, we're going to get this really, really low price sales. We've got to have a greater understanding of what's happening in your general vicinity. We also got to understand what type of property is being sold and achieved a higher price than the guide in a falling market, or absolutely got smashed in this market, 10, 15, 20% below even the other four, greater falling greater than all the others around it, because not all properties are the same, as you and I say. Where a lot of people get caught up in, and they get all excited, and they get all muddled, and tied up on is when you've got to differentiate, is it a development proposal? Are you competing against developers? Like I've also shared in the past and also on my tweets, you know, you just don't go toe-to-toe with developers because they've got, you know, deeper pockets than you to buy it. They understand what they can, you know, how they can add value, even if it's a falling market. They can, you know, they can hold on to the, they can land bank for a lot longer than what you think you can. And also, the fourth part of that is they also like to burn newcomers or people that want to stay, go toe-to-toe to them on the day. And they know when to pull away because they will have greater information and they will even know where when the owners, you know, where the reserve is or whatever. They'll burn you and you will get burned, you know, badly if you go toe-to-toe for all these reasons. So you've got to have a greater understanding of the type of property and also have an understanding of the motivation behind the vendor as to why they let it go so cheaply, right? Likewise, on the other hand, you know, don't get put out or don't get put off by people that you may consider overpaid on a property because you don't know the motivation of the buyer as well. Is it the school catchment area? Is it literally that the you know, family member lives next door or just down the road and it's going to be, they're going to be making a hell of a lot more money if the other kids are going to be looked after and they feel safer? Is it, you know, for security reasons? So for all these reasons, you know, take these out of line sales for what they are, analyze what's happening all around you and give Martin North a call and get him to give you an in-depth information to as to what's happening in a more condensed way rather than going out there and you know, falling for the trap, the emotional trap either way.
Well, thanks for the plug. Yeah, well, the one-to-one conversations are going very well at the moment. A lot of people are trying to actually get, you know, superior intelligence about what's going on. And, you know, even if the news isn't that positive, at least they've got a bit of a sense of, well, why things are happening the way they are, because that's part of the discussion. Anyway, let's go on and just talk about listings, because you did actually put some listings data in the pack. And as we said earlier on, it's still looking pretty hot.
Look, it is. And I haven't seen them retreat, like the mainstream media already talking about a retreat. We've seen a rise in there's still somewhat confidence. Is it confidence or is it the desperation of the yeah, auction campaigns are very, very high when you compare it to last year. The numbers are just phenomenal. It's getting better and better for buyers. There's a greater choice for buyers. Apartments are just going crazy in terms of, and there's a hell of a lot more apartments coming. The, you know, around the numbers and going back a little bit to what we shared a little bit earlier on is I'm watching very carefully to and listening to the industry, to our contacts in the industry, from, you know, all over Sydney, and see what their discussions are with their vendors or potential vendors. Are they being put off by the bad publicity, the bad mainstream media news? Are they being put off, or are they simply still willing to bring the properties on market? Because, you know, you one would think that with all the bad noise or the bad publicity around sale prices, you would think that we would get a retraction, but we're not. So, you know, the economic factors that are affecting a lot of families that much that they, you know, they need to sell, because you only stay on market if you have to sell, if you need to sell or have to sell or are forced to sell, yep. Right? If you're just going to test the market, this isn't the time to test the market.
Absolutely right. Hardly the time. I'll just answer George's question, sorry, Jason's question. What's the current backlog on my one-to-ones? Well, it's about 4 to 6 weeks generally, unless it's really urgent. If it's really urgent, I can do it sooner, but it does take a few days to do the research to be able to put it together. So that's why it's that's the sort of duration. And yeah, it is interesting in those numbers, Edwin, that apartments are, you know, still up there. More and more are coming on. More and more people are getting more and more desperate. And again, in my analysis, I'm finding a lot of people with those high rise, well, they've tried to put the rents up, but the rents increasing doesn't really work. They still aren't getting enough to cover the costs. There's no capital appreciation. And I was speaking to somebody again the other day who's up in the North Ryde area, which seems to be one of the particular black spots. And they reckon they've lost about 120,000 capital since they bought. And they bought what they thought was the bottom of the market back in 2017. So not a pretty sight.
No. And look, outside of apartments, Martin, what we're noticing as we're also picking up clients in the northern regions or the North Shore, the Upper North Shore, with expats coming back home, what we're noticing is properties that were sold or were bought in 2020 and 2021, they're coming back on the market.
Yep.
They're asking anywhere between 10 and 15% more as a guide to what the sale price was when they bought, obviously to account for the 5% stamp duty and other costs, buying costs, which equates to about 5%, or just a little bit more, but call it 5%, and perhaps any improvements they may have done to the property whilst they were living there. But we're seeing that more and more in the North Shore, in the Northwest region as well. Statistics shares a lot of that information as well on it's a good Twitter feed to follow as well, because he's out there, hammer and tong. And we get to see this, and obviously as we chat offline as well, we share some other information, and I get to look at the properties in the background in CoreLogic on the back end, and we're able to see the whole sales history, and hence the reason why we call out a lot of agents on underquoting as well. So this is something that it's interesting. So again, it goes back to, if you're on the market, it's because you have to be on the market, you need to be on the market. It's definitely not a time to test the market. But interestingly as well, is we're seeing more and more listings come on. And if this trend continues for the next 2 weeks, Martin, then I would say that across the board, we're going to see even bigger falls. Because the data that CoreLogic shares, it's obviously 72 days. They say worst case scenario, let's go with that. 72 days, worst case scenario, there's a lag on that. But in some instances, some areas of Sydney and the greater Sydney metro region, we're already experiencing anywhere between 12 and 15% drops in prices from, so we're in some areas, I've noticed some properties have gone back to your 29 early 2019 prices. There's not a lot of them, but they are starting to appear. But if you recall, when I was sharing a lot of this information in 2020, some of the sales when the Chinese community were getting out of the North Shore because of the issues that they were facing over in mainland China, and we got a run or a surge of listings at that time as well. And heading closer towards spring of 2020, I was reporting on sales of properties that were bought, not achieving the sale price of properties that were bought in some cases 2015, 2015, 2014. So the question is, there's no doubt in my mind if we get this trend, upward trend of listings on market continue, apart from all the other factors that you talk about, the economy, energy costs, inflation and everything else, if we get this trend, I'm confident that we will go back to your 2015, potentially 2015 prices within 3 months.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting just to bear in mind that properties over in Perth, which peaked up in 2012 to 2014, right? Many are still lower than they were then. Yeah, just worth bearing in mind. You know, this can be a long, slow grind. It doesn't necessarily have to be a quick down and a quick up, or quick up and a quick down.
No, and again, that goes back to what we were saying earlier on as well, is that people have also got to be although we talk in general terms, when I say, you know, within 3 months we could see another 10-15% drop in home prices, I'm not talking about every single bloody property that's listed on the market for sale. There'll be some that will achieve higher prices than what they're listed on the market. Again, it goes back to the motivation of the vendor and the motivation of the buyer. And obviously the third part of that triangle is you know, how you negotiate to buy as well. So each individual property stands on its own, but we are seeing in certain regions some properties go back to, you know, already touching on the 2017-2018 prices. And it comes back to, in those areas, comes back to the number of listings on market. From 3 months ago, you would only see perhaps 7 or 8 in these areas, but now there's upwards of 45. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to specific suburbs. Yep. So I'm not talking
LGA. That's very important to understand. We are talking particularly. So, example, one Berger just asked about Sunshine Coast. Well, I've just done some work on the Sunshine Coast. Property prices are still edging slightly higher, though the rate of growth is actually slowing. And in fact, my projections now are that we're going to see them going to go sideways for a bit and probably ease down later. But there are local issues there where a lot of people move interstate up to Queensland. A lot of people bought, because the yields on investment properties were quite a lot higher than in some other areas. So that's supporting the Sunshine Coast and some other areas around Brisbane. But if you look across the country, what you are seeing now is an easing of growth, or in Sydney and Melbourne, a significant fall. But in some areas, the falls are very significant, and that's really the point. You have to go granular. You have to look at the local information. You just can't talk about averages.
100%. And look at what some of the locals up there were telling us, which shared about, I think it was 6 weeks ago, or maybe a little bit more. We said that the locals up there, our contacts up there in Queensland, were saying, post Easter, things are going to change. And then last week there was a mainstream media article with regards to the holiday homes. We're starting to put a downward pressure on properties because quite a number of them are starting to come on the market for sale. Obviously, if you're holding on to a holiday home, whether it be in Queensland or in New South Wales, if you're not doing too well by way of an income to maintain it, you haven't got them on Airbnb, that's it's a cost. It's an extra cost, no different to having more cars, extra insurance, extra extra premiums, extra this, extra that, maintenance and so forth. It all adds up. So. One of the other things that you spoke with that lady from there with regards to rentals, although there were a couple of things that she got wrong, but I won't take you to task on that. The natural disaster, yeah. That's also put a bit more pressure. And I think that's being a bit of a lifeline to the downward trend up there in the Sunshine Coast and the Gold Coast and those areas there, because otherwise we would already be seeing them trending down as well. With a lot of those natural disasters and the rental the impact of the rentals there, as you said, Martin, investors saw that as a cheap opportunity. To move up there. So yeah, we've got to look at properties. Got to be more of a holistic approach than just let's just follow. If you're just following what the taxi driver's telling you, or what the Uber driver's telling you, or if you're just following what China's doing because you heard Robbie's confidant, the local Chinese restaurant chef, telling him, and then you heard it. And then just following that, well, you're behind the eight ball. You've got to stay ahead of the game and navigate through a lot of the macroeconomics. You've got to navigate through a lot of, as I say, whatever's happening in China is going to affect your neighbourhood. Whatever's happening in the States will affect your neighbourhood and everything else because of government policies and everything else around it. So it's a holistic approach. And one that should be taken up with caution, because you also don't want to be buying a lemon that you may think you got it at a great price, but without you got all excited because you think you got it, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 below the real estate agent's guide, but you didn't do further due diligence on the area or even on the standard of the property, and you're going to be picking up $200,000-$300,000 worth of rectification work on the other side. So yeah, it's be a little bit more cautious moving forward.
Absolutely, that's very good advice, Edwin. And you know, we're coming towards the end of the show now. I think we're going to have to do a separate show on the development costs, because there's a lot of information there which we probably can't explore tonight. But before we go, you've got a tip of the week, right? And it's a very interesting and very important one.
Look, look, this is a tip. I use this obviously when I personally, when I go to, depending on the area that I go to stand in and on behalf of clients, but also if I'm just slipping into an auction campaign just to see what the consensus is, or who my potential my client's potential competitors are going to be in a week or 2 weeks' time when the one that we're looking at is coming up. And that is, you know, very simple. Get to the, if you're looking at buying and you're going to be buying a property that's going to be auctioned off, get there early. Get there early and, you know, register and be the first to register, and then just hang around or have one of your family members hang around the registration table and see who else registers. It's then you get to feel as to who your competitors are going to be, and or if they are genuinely competitors, or if they are the goons that you talked about, Martin, or other goons that other real estate agents have also, all these dummy bidders, or if they may potentially be part of our Dummy Bidders Incorporated team that going out. But our ones, Martin, I want them to all be, yeah, they'll have a t-shirt.
Yeah,
they'll have an identifier, okay?
Yeah, exactly right. Dummy bidder, exactly. But it is interesting because, of course, certainly in New South Wales, you have to actually register before you can bid, right? So you'll get a sense of how many people are really seriously interested, right? And if you actually also discover that a couple of the people who are bidding didn't actually get registered, well, that really just proves the point, doesn't it, about dummy bidding?
Yeah, exactly. Take them to task.
Yeah,
stay in control. So I always say you've got to be dictating the terms. Whether the market is going upwards or whether the market's going downwards, you've got to be the one dictating the terms at an auction. There's a lot that plays out, but this is just a one of those tips that I find it handy, because I want to know. I want to know. If I guess. I'm more curious in areas where the home or the property that we're looking at for our clients has a development potential, because I want to see what developer is going to be actively bidding. You know, I recognise a number of them, but the ones that I don't, you know, I want to just, you know, get an idea and just you know, file it away for future reference.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as we close, Jason made a very important point. What happens when a person just had a new unit bought by a developer who completed the project, then goes through and they find the building was defective and needs remediation? Was it covered under builder's insurance? The short answer of that, it gets messy.
Very, very, very messy.
Yeah.
And look, there are a couple of our building inspectors will actually do a pre-settlement inspection on your behalf. Whether it's a home and land package, or whether it's a new property that's just been built, not necessarily a home and land package, whether it be an apartment that you bought, you've got all the rights. But moving forward, with anybody buying a property, a new apartment or an apartment under construction, because you've got a fantastic deal, you've got an absolute, you know, great deal, we'll put in the special conditions of the contract.
Yep.
That the builder will grant your building inspector access to inspect. They'll squirm and they'll scream and they'll do all sorts of things, but it's your right. You're paying the money. You're in control. So that goes into the special conditions that you'll be conducting an inspection. And it's a professional that carries, you know, it'll be a builder anyway. The building inspectors that we use, they've got very strong building backgrounds, and yeah, it'll be a builder licensed with, you know, with insurances, we have professional indemnity, and every other insurance that you want them to have, because you need that, because you yourself, because there are statutes of limitations on minor defects, and then there is obviously statute of limitations on major defects and structural defects. Now moving forward from that, Martin, the mistake that a lot of people that buy into apartments, and you find that then that there are defects, is they don't join the owner's corporation. Whether you're an investor or whether you're an owner occupier in an apartment complex, whether it be medium density or high density, you've got to get involved. Because if you don't get involved, the strata managers are just going to run rife, and they'll just do whatever, and they will not follow through with statutory obligations under their act to provide reports within a certain period of time, so that the builders can do the rectifications accordingly. Because if they miss that time, if that timing is not 100%, guess what? The builder walks, the developer walks, and you can whistle Dixie.
Yeah, no, very good, Edwin, and very good advice there. Thank you very much. And I see the pussycats just walked away, so that's probably a sign that we should probably close the show. So, Edwin, thanks very much for your insights tonight. Really greatly appreciate it, and some really important points there. So to the audience, tell us, do you like the live version of the Edwin rant, or would you prefer the recorded version? Always interested to know. And would you like us to do more of the shorter, sharper snaps as well, if we have pieces of news? Because I think those seem to also fly quite well. But anyway, Edwin, thanks very much for your time tonight. Really appreciate it. And we'll be chatting again very soon, huh?
Always a pleasure, and hopefully in the next... in the near future, we'll have Rooster Cam coming live and Koi Cam. I'm going to be feeling that everything works now in the koi pond. In the sardine pond. That was just Evan just whinging. She said, oh, "What the hell?" In the sardine pond, and I'll fill that up, put the pumps in, and then we'll have a Koi Cam and Rooster Cam, as well as Doggy Cam and Cat Cam.
Wonderful, Edwin. Well, thank you. Keep safe. Keep warm in this rather chilly weather, and we'll do it again soon. See ya.
Ciao.
There you go, folks. So I hope you found that fun. I certainly did, and Edwin's always great value. Just before we go, we should just say the Doggy Cam is still there. The girls haven't moved. They've been there all evening, just quietly snoozing away, and feeling as though that's probably the best, warmest place in the house. It probably is just at the moment. So there you go. And just to say that tomorrow there will be a live stream. It will almost certainly be Damien Klassen coming on and talking about the markets, unless he is unwell. He's not feeling too good today. There will be a show that I will run relating specifically to mortgage stress and things like that, if in fact Damien can't make it. So there will be a show tomorrow. At the moment, I'm expecting Damien to come on and talk about the markets, which will be a very good conversation to have. But as a fallback, I'll come on and talk about some of the stress analysis I've been doing. Just run the numbers for May. Some very important points there. Anyway, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Thank you for those who contributed via the Super Chat. Really appreciated. Thanks for all the comments. And I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. This is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, signing off. See you later.